Rule 3. Earnest striving and contending in all lawful ways, by both a faithfulness in doing and willingness to suffer, for the purity of the ordinances, honor, liberty, and privileges of the congregation, standing jointly together against opposers and common adversaries. Jude 3, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Hebrews 12:3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. For you have not yet resisted unto blood in your striving against sin. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, so ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For you brethren have been called unto liberty. 1 Corinthians 7:23, for you are bought with a price, be you not the servants of men. Song of Solomon 6:4, you are beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Clarification 3. The former rule concerned our dealing with God on the behalf of the church, this being our dealing with men, which necessitates the right performance of many things which are required us in Scripture. First, believers are to diligently labor in the Word with fervent prayer, to acquaint themselves with the mind and will of God concerning the way of worship which we profess, and the rules of walking which we desire to practice, so that we may be able to give an account to all humble inquirers, as well as stop the mouths of stubborn opposers. For according to our knowledge, such will be our valuation of the ordinances we enjoy. For a man will not contend for what he does not know he is entitled to. Secondly, a proper appraisal of all accusations cast upon the church, and the injuries done to her as a whole, for as they be injuries to Christ, they are equally our own. For Christ is wounded through the sides of his servants, and reproached for his ways. And if we are of his, we are not without pain, although the blow might not immediately fall on us, for all such reproaches and rebukes fall on us all as his servants. Thirdly, prayer for the just vindication of the church against misrepresentations and false imputations. Who can endure to hear his parents in the flesh falsely vilified? Should we be senseless or untouched by attacks of slander and reproaches against any born unto Christ? Fourthly, with all the righteous opposition of the gospel, the joint refusal of subjection to any persons or things contrary to, or apart from the word, under what name soever, which do attempt to gain power over the church to the deprive it of any of those liberties and privileges, which it rightly claims her own being part of the purchase of Christ. Those that would seek to mesmerize with seductive vain theology contrary to Holy Scripture, we are not to give place, no, not for an hour. Rule 4. Zealous and painstaking care ought ever to be made for peace, endeavoring for the preservation of unity, both for each part as well as the whole, in particular and in general. Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 2 Corinthians 13:11, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 15:5, now may the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? So that brother now goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Acts 4:32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Clarification 4. Unity is the main aim and most proper fruit of love, neither is there any duty of the saints in the gospel which ought to be pressed upon our hearts with more earnest enthusiasm of exhortation than this. Now, unity is threefold. First, being purely spiritual, it is wrought in all by the faithful participation of each through yielding to the same Spirit of grace, each thereby keeping communication in the same Christ, who is the one head of each and of all. For through the Spirit of grace brings his body to share one mind and one heart, if their affection truly be set on things above. This we have with all the saints in the world, in what condition soever they be, yes, even with those that are now departed, sitting down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Secondly, unity is ecclesiastical, or a church communion preserved through the mutual reverence for, and participation in ordinances according to the order of the gospel. This communion of the saints is a fruit and branch of the former, our communion with Christ, which is opposed to schism, divisions, rents, evil surmisings, self-practices, causeless differences in judgment in spiritual things concerning the kingdom of Christ, or with whatsoever else causes a departure from closeness of affection, oneness of mind, consent in judgment to the form of wholesome words, or conformity of practice to the rule. This unity is that which is earnestly pressed, commanded, and desired of God in the churches among all its members, as it is utmost to partaking of the glory of Christ, exhibiting the honor of the gospel, and is the very joy and crown of the saints. Thirdly, unity is also civil, a unity or an agreement in vain things of this life, no longer striving or contending with each other over earthly things, nor about carnal matters. Rather, everyone preferring one another, seeking the welfare of each other. For strife over such temporal things is unseemly for brethren. Why should they, who jointly shall one day together judge the world, contend about this world and over temporal things which will perish in the fire of his coming? Motives to the preservation of unity in all three of its aspects are as follow. 1. The remarkable earnestness of Christ and his apostles in their prayers for unity, and precepts of this duty of daily seeking and preserving it. 2. The certain dishonor of the Lord Jesus that disunity brings, scandal to the gospel, ruin to the churches, shame and sorrow to the saints. For disunity is accompanied with much evil which affects all. Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. 3. The gracious issues and sweet heavenly consolation which attends a right observance of the principles of unity. 4. The many fearful aggravations, wherewith the sin of disunity rends the body of Christ apart, is obvious in both the Bible and church history. 5. The sad contempt for, discard of, and deviation from gospel ordinances, which were given to the church graciously for communion and holy unity, the want of which never fails to bring death to any faithless church which tolerates disobedience and discord. Revelation 3:1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, say he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works that you have a name that you are alive, and yet you are dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain which are ready to die, for I have not found your works to be perfect before God. Remember therefore what you had once received and heard, and repent, and hold fast. For if you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. For a right performance of this duty, we must give attention to do the following. 1. Labor by prayer and faith, to have our hearts and spirits thoroughly seasoned with that affectionate love which our first rule requires. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To carefully observe in ourselves, or in others, the first beginnings of strife, which are as the letting out of water, and if not prevented will make a breach like the sea. 3. Be vigilant and diligent to apply ourselves to the removal of the first appearance of divisions, and in case of not prevailing, to consult the church. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Now I beseech you brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Philippians 2:2, Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Philippians 4:2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. 4. Be ready daily to strike at the root of all dissension, and daily laboring for universal conformity to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:22, That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be you renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:8, But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.